I love my church because it's helped me to have a new relationship with God.
I love my church because it trained me and showed me how to be closer to Christ.
Ever since coming to CCV, this church has really been a big impact in my life, and that's why I love it.
I love my church because of its global outreach.
I love my church because of their desire to spread Jesus' name to the unreached countries of this world.
I love my church because it gives me the opportunities to travel the world, impact people, and see the world through God's eyes.
I love my church because we're mission-oriented. They don't just support missions here in Arizona, but they support them all around the world.
I love my church because of its global outreach.
I love my church because of the impact we're making not only in the Valley, but all around the world.
I want to begin this message where Jesus ended his. At the end of his life, 40 days after his resurrection, he gathers a group of ragtag former fishermen around him, and he's about to leave, and they know it, and they're nervous, because he keeps saying to them, you're going to carry on the mission, and they're not ready. And yet, because of the last command Jesus gave, they were obedient to the last command he gave. Everything that we've seen in the church for the last 2,000 years is the result of that moment. Every church, every hospital, every orphanage, every compassionate ministry. Because they heard Jesus say these words, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the world. To the far-flung places, we are to make Jesus' name famous. And that's what this church is really all about. That's why I love my church, because we have made the last command of Jesus the first priority of our church. And I know that many of you have been around for a long time, and you've been very generous with us. Thank you for that. Because your generosity has made possible some of the most extraordinary works ever done in church history, right through this church. I mean, God has blown us away by what's happened in recent days. And I want to walk through in this message 10 specific ministries that we've partnered with. But I want you to know, if you, like some of you, have taken God's command seriously to give a tithe of your income, and the first 10% of your income you've given to the local church, believing in God. And I just want you to know, it's been a great investment. And what we've been able to do because of your generosity is extraordinary. And I just want you to know, as a church, we tithe off of your gifts so that 10%, actually it's 11%, of all the generous offerings that come to this church, we put into other ministries that we feel strongly about. And so for the next few minutes, I just want to have kind of a, I don't know, business meeting of sorts. Because if I look at my own personal portfolio, my IRA, 401k, I want to know, am I diversified? I want to know, is this effective? Is it growing? And I want to know if I can be proud of the investments that I'm involved in. And at the end of this time together, I want you to walk out, every person on every campus, saying, I love my church because they're taking the investment that we're making and putting it to good use so that Jesus' final command is our first priority. So what I'd like to do is play off of the message that Pastor Don gave last week. He started the series of I Love My Church with a message about our mission statement. It's simple. We win people to Christ, we train believers to become disciples, and we send disciples to impact the world. That drives everything we do in ministry, even our global outreach. And so the 10 ministries that I want to introduce you to really fall under three banners of winning people to Christ, training disciples, training believers to become disciples, and sending disciples to impact the world. And it all begins with winning people to Christ. And I want you to know, when we talk about winning people to Christ, we're not talking about winning an argument. We're not talking about, you know, winning a fight. We're talking about winning people's hearts. Because we believe at CCV that every man, woman, and child on the planet should know that they are desperately loved by God, that they are openly welcomed by their church, and that they're extraordinarily useful in the world. We just believe that every person should know that. So we're trying to win people to Christ in obedience to this command of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. That's what Jesus said. That's what we're going to do to win people to Christ. And part of what we understand is that win is the easiest part of our mission to lose. Win is so hard to keep up front because probably you're like me. We like to be liked by people who are like us. And that's why so many churches become clubs. And everybody looks alike, and everybody votes alike, and everybody acts alike. We don't want to be that because Jesus has on mission the entire world. And so part of what he commanded us to do in Matthew 25 is to go visit people in prison who are very different than most of us. In fact, Jesus said that if you will go visit people in prison, I will take it personally. When he said this, "Inasmuch as you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." So we are proud at CCV to partner with a CCV member named Roger Munchen, who goes into prisons to bring people freedom. And actually, Roger spent time in prison. And it was his time behind bars that brought him freedom in Christ. So the title of his book and the title of his ministry are the same: Rescued, Not Arrested. Because if you asked Roger, were you arrested? He would say, actually, yeah, I was arrested, but I was rescued by the arrest. So when he got out in this miraculous release, he started getting volunteers to gather around him. He averages 70 volunteers a year to go into local jails right here in Phoenix and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. They got Bible studies. They've given out over 100,000 Bibles. They've gotten 5,000 inmates to actually sign up for Bible study courses. And here's the result. In the past 10 years, over 800 people have been baptized in the jails here in Phoenix. That's Roger right there on the right. And a new believer who I'm guessing is probably a little bit different than you. What Roger knows is that the Word of God frees people. So we're not only proud to partner with Roger and his volunteers, but we've actually partnered with a couple in a very far away place. Roger is here, but this translation of the Bible is far. This couple right here, Barb and Evert Temenink. She used to be in the youth group here at CCV many years ago. God called her to ministry. She goes to get trained at a Christian college. And then she goes to a far away place in Guinea in Africa where they speak the Xhosa language. And it's taken them 23 years of our support and your investment to produce this. Now, I know it looks like a small, thin book, but listen, it is the only Bible ever in history in the Xhosa language. And there will be people in heaven because of your generosity with us at CCV. And you might think it's just one book in 23 years. No, it's not a book. When you open it, it becomes a portal for eternity. Thank you for your investment. Now, there's some interesting things we invest in: prisons and Bible translations that you as a church should be absolutely proud of. But you also need to know, most of our investments are in church plants around the world because we believe that the hope of the world is the local church. And if our society is going to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we're going to make his name famous all over the world, it will be through the church. And so we plant churches left and right. Here in Phoenix, we plant campuses. Around the world is churches because we know that there are places we can't go and skills that we don't have and people that we can't get unless we invest in other people's ministries. So here's an example of a church plant that's pretty close to our heart here. This guy right here is named Dermot O'Mahony. He's a happy little Irishman who came to CCV years ago as an intern. And he loved the ministry of the church. And he said to our leaders, "Would you please send me back home? I want to go back to Ireland, to Limerick, and I want to plant a church." And so we funded him for the last 5 years. Here's the result. 80 people gather every week in the name of Jesus Christ to worship our God. Now you might think, well, Ireland, don't they have like a lot of religions? Actually, Ireland is one of the smallest communities of evangelical Christians in the world. He is fighting an uphill battle, but in the midst of that, there are people that he met in public spaces like parks and pubs that now name the name of Jesus. And when you get to 80, it's really hard to be a house church. So they have asked us to support them by leasing a space that their church could call home, so that now every member of the church can invite friends and family to be a part of Jesus Christ. That's why I love my church. And we're doing that in city after city and country after country all over the world. Now, part of the challenge for Dermot is now that he's got 80 people who are in his church, he has to disciple them so that the ministry doesn't end with him. So that's why we're not just winning people to Christ, but we're training believers to become disciples. It's a strategy that's 2,000 years old. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 2, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." If you look at that carefully, there are four generations of disciples: Paul, Timothy, the people Timothy discipled, and the ones that they will bring to Christ. That's our strategy. We are looking for reproductive ministries in the next generation. And one of those ministries is not far, it's not even near, it's right here. On our campuses at CCV, we have a residency program. We call it the Leadership Institute. It began 4 years ago when we invited 8 Bible college presidents and deans to the Peoria campus for a 3-day conversation. It began with one statistic: 85%. 85% of all the men and women who go to Bible college, who study for ministry, they're called by God, they're trained in college, and they're hired by a church. 85% of them drop out of ministry in 5 years. That, my friends, is tragic. And the presidents and deans agreed. These are their students. And it wasn't that they were doing a bad job. In fact, our colleges are doing a fantastic job teaching the scriptures. The problem with the attrition rate in ministry is all the other pressures of practical ministry. It's conflict resolution. It's strategic planning. It's vision casting. It's HR and PR and IT and the soft sciences of human management. Look, that's what we do, like, in our sleep around here. Now, I don't just want to brag about the church. We have a fantastic church. But our staff, I'm telling you, God has done something special here. On each of our campuses, there are some of the finest men and women in ministry in all the country right here. And what we suggested to the presidents is, let us take your seniors, like, give us your senior year. That's a bodacious ask of a college president or dean. Send them here, and we will put them hip to hip with one of the finest workers in their targeted area of ministry: youth ministry, student ministry, special needs, sports ministry. The presidents, this will surprise you, they not only agreed, yes, we'll do that, they came back with a proposal of their own. And they said, we're looking at your people, we're looking at your curriculum, and we believe that we should offer a master's degree in strategic ministry for the 10 months they spend on your campus. So for the last 3 years, we have had 102 residents. 54 of them walked out of here with a master's degree. 21 of them finished their bachelor's degree. The rest moved from secular employment to ministry in professional studies. It's been powerful. And churches all around the country are calling us and saying, how did you do that, and how can we replicate it? Here's our answer. The secret sauce of our residency program is our coaches. And it's not just coaches at the executive level. I'm telling you, from our senior pastor to those who clean our facilities, the security teams and the student teams, our IT department, they're all pouring into our residents. In fact, I want to say thank you to many of you who have spiritually coached and nurtured one of our residents, or housed them in your home, or supported them in their work. God is doing amazing things through our residents, and we just want to thank you. And for that, I love my church. And I want you to pray, because in 2 weeks, we're going to have our fourth cohort of 38 residents from around the country. These are exciting days to be a part of CCV. Now, we're not just training people here, we're training people near. About a year ago, There's a group of churches in Indiana that had purchased property in Sholo, and they built a multi-million dollar facility on that property that is a training center, and they weren't pleased with how they were leveraging it. So they came to our missions pastor, Larry Fraley, and they said, could you guys use this? And our eyes got wide, and we said something like, boy, howdy. And so right now, we have staff on the ground, we have a curriculum in place, and every month we offer a series of trainings in leadership practices, ministry skills, and community development, and our target is over 1,000 leaders from 4 tribes of Native Americans in Arizona, so that we can build a community that is often the most overlooked and underprivileged in our state. That's why I love my church. But again, training is really important to us because we realize the next generation depends on it. So we have a group far away in Vienna, Austria, and we believe in these people. The ministry is called Training Christians for Ministry. And they do graduate training in Eastern Europe. And they are the only graduate school that is accredited in Europe by an American Board of Education. And that gives extraordinary value to our students. Because even though many of them are going to Muslim countries, Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and Moldova, Ukraine, and all kinds of Eastern European countries that have a marginal fraction of Christians, even though they might be Muslim in the government, they respect an American education. So our graduates get open doors that other people do not. Since 1957, over 500 have graduated from this ministry in Europe. And I know that's kind of impersonal to you, but let me personalize it to one of my own students. I was teaching a class there over the summer. It was a distance class that I would fly over for a 2-week intensive course on Bible interpretation. And one of my students was named Katarina. She was from Uzbekistan. She was the only Christian in her family. And her father and her brother said, Katarina, you are shaming our family by preaching Jesus. If you don't stop preaching Jesus, we will beat you. And if you persist, we will kill you. And that wasn't an idle threat. So the assignment that she was working on, and I'm sitting in my office right here in Phoenix, I'm grading her assignment on applying a biblical text to her local context. The text that she chose was in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin said, if you don't stop preaching Jesus, we will beat you, and if you persist, we will kill you. Sound familiar? And Peter and John, these ragtag fishermen, said, we must obey God rather than men. So here's Katarina's application. I guess that if Peter and John were commanded to do this, then I must say to my father, I must obey God rather than men. He will probably beat me. He might kill me. I'm terrified, but I will obey the Bible. Now, I've got to give her a grade. Like, how do you grade a martyr? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I were to give her a C, I'm pretty sure that my own eternal salvation would be in jeopardy. I give her an A. Here, near, far. We're serious about taking your hard-earned generosity and making the most of it so that what we're doing with your gifts is not only smart, it's not only effective, but it's also something that you can feel good about being a part of. Now, I know if you're following the app or you're looking at the program notes, there's another category here that may not make sense under the banner of training. It's sex trafficking. Let me tell you why training is so important in this ministry. A number of years ago, our mission team recognized that Phoenix is one of the portals in America for sex trafficking. And we just decided, not here, not now, not on our watch. So we developed an in-house home that would rescue girls off the street. It is the only in-house facility for sex trafficking of its kind in America. We are a model for all kinds of other organizations to follow. And it's a tough ministry. I'm telling you, it's a tough ministry because there's legal things that we have to deal with, and there's red tape that we have to deal with, and there's hoops that we have to jump through, and there are pimps who don't like us doing what we're doing, but these girls are so vulnerable, and I'm telling you, I feel sorry for any pimp or politician that stands in the way of the bulldogs of streetlight ministry right here in Phoenix. They will get blown over. Here, this is your generosity at work. Right here on our campus at Peoria, there's a group of girls that have been sexually and physically and emotionally abused that we baptize into Christ. You see, when they go through that abuse, it reprograms their brain, and they need to be trained how to think again as daughters of God. And then if they don't have a job, they're going to go right back to it. And so they have to be trained in a skill that they can implement that will make enough money that they can live on. And that's what we're doing right here in Phoenix. But we're doing it far away as well. My friend Stephanie Freed actually was my realtor in Joplin, Missouri, sold me a house. She's not a Wonder Woman. She's not a superhero. She's like you, a woman that saw what was happening to vulnerable girls in Cambodia, and she said, not on my watch. And she created an organization called Rafa House that we generously support because it has rescued hundreds of girls from prostitution and sex slavery. And then we do the same thing in Fiji again. And I know maybe you've seen the publicity that we have a mission trip to Fiji, and you're going, hey, I'm in on that one. Look, we're not sunbathing over there. We're rescuing. And we haven't advertised this a lot, but a group of godly men, friends of mine that I know well, their hearts are pure, they're tackling one of the darkest secrets of our society, and it's the sex trafficking of boys. It's called Black Box International, and we at CCV are part of that. I love my church. Now, this is where it comes to you. And I know I've been talking a lot of information, and I don't just want you to be informed about where your investment is going. I don't want you just to know what we are doing or even why we're doing it. I want you to know how you can get involved. Because I'm telling you, there is no way that with my skill set, I could do half of the things that we've just listed. We need you. You are the church. And when I say I love my church, I'm saying I love you, because so many of you on every campus are like these Rambos for Jesus. You have a heart of fire and eyes of compassion, and you've got resources of time and talents that you're willing to throw at the needs of our culture. And what you understand is that this is your church and this is your mission. And it's not just CCV that makes Jesus' last command our first priority, but many of you have given your lives, even though you're doctors or lawyers or writers or electricians, you've said, God, whatever you put in my hand, I'm going to put at your disposal to use. And that's why we can send you to impact the world. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians that says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And that's what I'm calling you to right now. We want every person in every seat on every campus to be involved in the global mission of CCV. And I don't know how that's going to look for you. I don't know when you're going to get to go, but I would challenge you, every single person, to put your feet on foreign soil for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because your next step, maybe you've been reading your Bible and you've been coming to church and you've been tithing and you've been serving. Your next step may be a step on an airplane to go to a place that's far away to meet people who are very different from you, to use the gifts that God has given you to make Jesus famous somewhere in the world. And I just believe that there's some place with your name on it. And there are some people that you will reach that I never will. And I want to show you how that works practically. A friend of mine named Rick, he's a member of our church. He's one of you. He would say, I'm a struggling Christian, and I'm just trying to be a disciple of Jesus. Nothing special about me, but he's really, really good at business. Like, really good at business. And about a decade ago, he learned of an opportunity in Swaziland. Swaziland has the highest rate of HIV/AIDS in the world. 43% of her citizens have HIV/AIDS. That's devastating. Like, you've passed a threshold that will wreak havoc. And so there was a city in this country that is now going bankrupt, and the king was selling the city. The name of the city is Bulimbu. Bulimbu, the name means a city on a hill. You see the irony of this. And Rick just said, what if we bought the city? Like, what if some investors went in and just bought the city and then built businesses and hospitals and roads and schools? We could do that. So literally, this investor, with other investors in Swaziland, got some people who had a concern for the name of Jesus Christ, and they bought a city. And here is a picture from the very first trip over there. And there were CCB members that read that writing on the wall. Baby dumping is prohibited. And one of our members actually heard a baby crying in an outhouse. Someone had taken this child and thrown her in a hole of human excrement. And they rescued her, and they cleaned her, and they saved her life. Truth is, almost every child that is alive in Bulimbu today is alive because of the work of the Bulimbu mission that one of our CCV members was a part of. And of course, if you save these babies, you're going to have to house them then. And at the beginning of the Bulimbu mission 10 years ago, they could only take care of 25 orphans. Today, there are 366 orphans alive in Bulimbu. And then, of course, you have to put a hospital in. So we put in a hospital. That hospital now takes care of 600 people every month. And then, of course, you have to build a school for them. So we built this school. And originally, the school could only house 78 students. We now have 350 students in this school. And if you're going to put kids in school, you have to put their parents to work, right? And so we've started creating businesses like this lumber mill here, where men and women can not only earn money, but they can save their dignity. And there's also businesses like a bakery and a honey farm. And because of the work of us, you, not me, us as a church, people like you are doing extraordinary things for the gospel of Jesus Christ in our day. Don't you want to be a part of that? Because Bulimbu is not just the story of one country. It's the story of what can happen when you change a culture for Jesus Christ. And I want you to pray this Wednesday. I know that many of you have jumped on and joined the prayer team here for 28 days of prayer for our church. If you haven't, you can just sign up on the app, and we'll send you a text every day of what to pray about. You'll get it in your email. But I want you to go beyond 28 days. And I want you to have information like the people who are leaving this Wednesday. This Wednesday, 60 members of CCV are going to get on an airplane, and they're going to fly to Kenya. The reason we're going to Kenya, half of them are medical personnel that will take care of physical needs. Half of them are going to go to the Korogocho school. Look at these faces. Come on. And they're going to love on these children in the middle of the most dire poverty of the world. One of the most wretched places of humanity, there is a lighthouse. It's the Korogocho School in Mathare that we as a church purchased and built. When we opened, there was only 78 students. Now today, there are 350 students. Thank you for your generosity. I love my church. That's what we're doing far away. But the same kind of community development we're doing near us. Another one of our members, Jason, like many of you, he would go down to Rocky Point for vacation, enjoy the sea breeze. But as he passed shack after shack after shack, he said, this is not right that we go on vacation to a place that sits on the shoulders of poverty. And he didn't want to do like just compassion and throw money at it, because that robs people of dignity when you give them just compassion. So he created One Mission. It is an organization that builds houses for people right near us in Rocky Point. Hundreds of you have gone. Over the past few years, there have been 3,000 volunteers build 111 houses just like this one. And the man who's holding the keys to his new house earned his house because he and his family gave over 200 hours of volunteer service for community development. So now he not only has a house, he also retains his dignity. That is smart missions. And I want you to be a part of that. Don't miss out. I love my church, and I want you to, every one of you, to be part of something that God is doing and use something that God has put in you that is special, that I don't have and I will never have, because there's a place with your name on it and a people with your name on it. And so in order for you to tap into that, like many of you are probably stunned right now, I didn't know we were doing all that. Here's the real shocker. I've only told you about 10% of what we're doing as a church. My time has run out. And so here's what I'm calling you to do. Every one of you on every campus, I want you to be informed of the other 90%. Here's how. If you're using the app, you can just click on the Global Outreach button and sign up. All we need is your name and email. Look, we're not going to spam you. You'll get about 5 emails a year. We're just going to let you know what God is doing so that you can pray and potentially someday participate. Now, if you're not on the app and you're kind of doing an old-fashioned thing, then you can just take your program and give us your name and email, and on every campus, there is a table set up right outside where you're worshiping. Drop that off at the table, and we'll get you on the list. And I know some of you are going, but I want to keep my program. Okay, you keep your program, but go to the table, and they have a paper there. Give us your name and email. I want you to know what God is doing through your church, through our people, to make a radical difference all over the world. Would you do that? Jesus said this. In fact, it's one of the first things he ever said. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And if you've had your eyes open the last couple weeks and you've been looking at the news, you know we are ripe for harvest. We're living in dire times where we need all hands on deck. Every doctor, every lawyer, every nurse, every accountant, every plumber, every architect, every carpenter. Would you come and join us? Maybe not today, but if you sign up today, there will be a day when you find a trip that is exactly what God has put on your heart, and you can participate with us. Over 1,000 members of CCV went on foreign soil last year for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Won't you be one of them in 2017? Sign up and we'll let you know how. And maybe you're thinking, I don't have the money or I don't have the skills. Yeah, I know. That's what Matt and Jessica thought too. Matt and Jessica are newlyweds, no different than you. And their story might be your story. Watch this video.
I kind of came to the point where I just felt God compelled me to really kind of go for it and really do this trip to Kenya. And I think she thought I was crazy for a little bit.
When we saw it in church and he said he wanted to go, my first question is, how in the world are we going to be able to afford, you know, an expensive missions trip to Kenya? It's a couple thousand dollars. And we kind of looked at each other. We had just gotten married the year before. We have just purchased our first home. I mean, working and paying our bills was just about where all of our money was going to. And so to have extra money to be able to go on a missions trip was something that just didn't seem, I didn't know where we were going to get the money from. He had been putting money aside in an envelope, I guess, for maybe our first anniversary, maybe purchasing a new couch, or, I mean, he was just putting money aside just in case, an emergency fund, something. We read online with the research that you should put a third of your own money towards the trip, of your hard-earned money, and when we went into our room and pulled out that envelope of cash, we had exactly one-third of the trip in there. After that moment, we knew it's going to be okay, we need to trust him, and this mission trip is going to happen.
I thought I was going to go there and these kids were going to be good soccer players, we're gonna teach them new skills, it was gonna be all fun and we're gonna play with them. And that was completely the wrong mindset. When I got there, it was these younger first to fourth grade, didn't know how to kick a soccer ball, anything like that. But when I'm there, just to show the love, because it doesn't matter how much money people throw at them or what they do, it really determines kind of just your time, and that's really what they need. I mean, CCV's been there, I mean, 6, 7, 8 years now in a row. And I think that's what's so impactful, is just people keep going back and back and really building that relationship you just see the difference, and it doesn't matter what your age is, it doesn't matter what background you come from, it doesn't matter how much you make, it doesn't matter, all these X factors doesn't matter when you're in the presence and doing God's work.
And when I went over there, I was thinking, you know, that I would help them and I would teach them things and give them my knowledge, but then on the flip side, they were showing me love and helping me out whatever way they could and just building relationships, which was incredible.
You really see God's love working through them, and that's such a unique experience that I don't believe you really will get here in the States or get if you don't push yourself to get out of your comfort zone. He will definitely use you in whatever way that he wants to, because he knows what's going to happen, and he's going to be there with you. So you just have to want to go. I mean, he tells us to go out into the world, and that's just something that you have to obey if he puts it on your heart.